Please turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Matthew 5, verse 13, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Fairly recently we studied together the Beatitudes. And these four verses here at the end also grabbed my attention, and I felt they would be very appropriate for today. Today we give thanks for what is past and we look forward to the future. And this future, it is fair to say, takes us in this room in several directions. As we've discussed in the past, none of us has the right to second guess another's decision. Each one of us answers to our Master. Now we cannot deny the sadness we feel today, whether we are staying or leaving or something in between, whatever that might be. So the question is, what can we profitably focus on this morning? The fact is, wherever we meet to worship next Sunday or any other, we claim to be followers of Christ, Christians. And if you remember, when we looked at the Beatitudes, we saw that they're not a checklist of desirable features of a Christian. They're not a multiple choice, a little from column A, a little from column B, of things that it would be good to be like this or to be like that. But they are actually a progressive pyramid which comes to a peak, which describes the character of a Christian. It's not just one here and one there, oh, that makes a fairly good person. No, it is a complete description of a follower of Christ. They're not like to haves, but they are must haves. And so we have two statements before us this morning from the Lord Jesus Christ, which are about his followers, Christians. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Let's think about what they mean and then apply them to ourselves. The Saviour says, you are the salt of the earth. True Christians are like salt. Mr. Spurgeon says, true Christians have a secret something. That's what he said. A secret something. There's something about them. What is it? Well, it's the salt. It's the savour of the salt. Salt itself is unlike anything else. It's quite distinct and unique. You only need a little bit of it. You know what happens if you have too much of it? It's very effective. It changes everything it comes into contact with. Now, of course, in Bible times and even in more recent times, well, even into the 1950s and beyond, certainly around here, salt could be very effective as a preservative if you have no fridge, no freezer. And that's exactly the thinking that the Saviour has here. And that's how people would have thought about it when they heard about it. It's a flavouring, yes, but it's also a preservative. Small grains doing a lot of good. And in a way, it's like the Levites were. By God's plan, they were scattered across the whole of the nation of Israel. They didn't have their own territory, but they were given cities in each territory. And they were spread about the whole of the land. They would travel up to Jerusalem to do duties for a period of time. Then they would go back to their homes. Why were they spread out? Why? So that they could reach all of the people and teach them God's law. They were like a sprinkling of salt throughout the land. And so God has his people now, today, scattered throughout the world like grains of salt. You are the salt of the earth. And then you are the light of the world. True Christians are not just like salt, says Jesus, they are like light. Light is useful, of course it is. It's welcome, very much so. It dispels darkness, most importantly. Like salt, in a way, even the smallest spark of light in a dark place has an effect. If a room is pitch black, even the feeblest candle brings a measure of light. Just a spark will be seen. Light, of course, does other things. It can show up defects and problems and show things as they really are. But it can be cheering and comforting and give direction and help to travellers. All of these things. What does it teach us? What is the headline of all of this? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's the thing I've been saying for 7 years. Christians are supposed to be different from everyone else. It should be obvious, shouldn't it? Salt preserves what would otherwise go rotten, be putrid, decay. Light illuminates. If there's no light, well, everything's dark. That's the alternative. Now, there's much here to encourage us today in these words, but also to challenge us. But before I just look at the challenge and the encouragement, I want to say a word to anybody here. If you know that these things are not true of you, so you say, well, I'm not a Christian, I haven't trusted Jesus Christ as my Saviour, my sin is not forgiven. You say, well, I'm not different from the world around me, and I don't want to be. I don't want to be salty, I don't want to be light, I don't want to stand out, I don't want anyone to look at me and say, oh, there's a Christian. Now, when we first moved to Wootton Under Edge, the people who occupied the house before us were a little bit chatty. Chatty is probably the most polite way of saying it. They went around telling everyone they knew that a vicar was moving into their house. And, you know, give up trying to explain to people that vicars don't lead Baptist churches and all that kind of thing. You just have to go with it and just accept it. But you see, and then Claire discovered over time, she got to know lots of people in various groups, particularly Slimming World and various things, that she got on wonderfully well with people. And then they discovered she was a pastor's wife and everything changed. And they treated her weirdly, strangely. But that actually happens. You don't have to be a minister or a pastor's wife or whatever for that to happen. If someone gets to know you and then they discover you're a Christian, they can treat you strangely anyway. You don't have to be any church officer or anything else. This is the reality of life. And you might say, well, no, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be different. I just want to be myself. I want to be to fit in. But my question to you this morning, if you're not a Christian, is this. What is your alternative to a life, to a Christian life? What alternative do you have for a life with any genuine, lasting meaning and purpose? These characteristics of a Christian should help us to see that there isn't actually any fence you can sit on. You're either a Christian or you're not. It's quite simple. And if you are, the way that you should live is clear. We'll come on to that. But if you're not, well then, you're not salt, are you? You're not that preservative for the world around you. What's the alternative to something being preserved and kept? Well, it's corruption, it's decay. And this world is lost in sin. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. We sing many times. This world is dying. This world is decaying. It's deteriorating. And so is each one of us, physically. That's true. What is your plan, friend? You're not a Christian. What's your plan to escape the corruption of sin and death? If you are not the salt of the earth, what's your plan? What are you going to do? And if you're not going to do something about it today, of all days, this may be the last time you come to this building. Maybe the last time you hear preaching. Maybe, if you're not going to think about it seriously today, when are you going to? And then if you're not just not salt, but not light, what's the alternative? Darkness. You're not the light of the world, you are darkness, you are in darkness. You are actually ignorant. And you come and you hear God's word and you reject it, you are being willfully ignorant. And that's a terrible, sad thing. Because ultimately this ignorance and darkness will be eternal. What you choose now, well, will it be your choice for the rest of life and for eternity to your lasting regret? So for the last time, I appeal to you to come to Christ. You see, he will give you light. He is the one who will change you and transform you. And you will be salt and light, not only preserving the world and being a blessing to those around you and bringing light, but preserved yourself, ultimately saved, blessed, assured of eternal light and blessing. Jesus Christ, the only Saviour, who suffered and died on Calvary's cross and bore in his body the weight of punishment due to all who trust in him. And he stands before God the Father, even today, in the place of his people. His sacrifice atones for our sin. He pleads for us. He stands for us. He is the Saviour. What's your alternative? If you won't be salt and light, you will perish and you will be in darkness. But Christians, and I know I'm speaking by and large to those who profess to be Christians this morning, we are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be different. And that's inescapable, isn't it? So if you claim to be Christian, yet you're just the same as everyone else, it's a valid question to say, are you a Christian? As the old saying goes, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove the case against you? These are necessary challenges to us. This is what the Saviour says. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And you think, am I? Am I? Jesus says, salt that loses its flavour or savour is what? Good for nothing. So that's a bit harsh. Well, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. What is he saying? Well, it's better to never have been a Christian than to have falsely claimed to be one. To have deluded yourself and others. It's a very sad state to be in. We have to take this seriously. Spurgeon says you can salt meat, but you cannot salt salt. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. You can't season what has lost its savour. You can't. But where do we get this saltiness, this distinctiveness from? We'll only get it from Christ himself, through knowing him. To be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The Saviour is the one who gives us that secret something, that savour, that saltiness, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. The authentic spiritual life. These are the challenges to us as Christians. We must examine our hearts and our lives. What excites me? Is it tradition or truth? Is it to hear Christ exalted or just to be entertained? There is a fight on for your soul, day and night. You have an enemy. He hates your Saviour. He hates you. He would love to bring you down. Sometimes we get weary in that battle. Sometimes we let our guard down. Sometimes things are very tough. Today is very tough. Now, to an extent, I'm riding on a little wave of having had many things to do over the past month and having been extremely busy and slightly terrified of the wave coming crashing down on the beach and what might happen then. But I've got plenty to do in the coming week as well. But nonetheless, when we stop and we think, you may have been busy, you may not have been, it's not hard, is it, to start to feel weary. And I can feel weary. And I can look back at 7 years. Some of you can look back at decades. And I can look back at 7 years and say, but Lord, we visited thousands of doors. We've spoken to hundreds of people. We've been to the carnival. We've been on Thornbury Market. We've done this, we've done that. We've done so many things. And yet there is so little interest in the gospel. It's easy to feel weary. We've put so much effort in. We have faithfully given to the work of the Lord in this place. We have faithfully attended worship. We have done these things. And it's easy to feel weary. And maybe even today you feel weary. Things haven't gone as we hoped. Right? They haven't. That's not why I'm leaving. You all know that. But it's true. Things haven't gone as we hoped. What did we hope for? Why nothing other than the movement of God in power and the salvation of many? And that has not happened. Not yet. But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Right now, the challenge of these words might seem a bit too much for you. A bit uncomfortable. And you say, I need comfort, I don't need challenge. Well, friends, we always need both. But here is the comfort. Ask a question, how are we to move forward? What are we to do? Let's look at these words. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Christ doesn't speak conditionally. Here's the comfort. If you are his, you are salt. You are light. You say, but I'm like the worst Christian ever. Don't even know my Bible properly. I forget to pray. I'm scared. If somebody asks me about my faith, I make an excuse and I don't want to talk about it. And I feel ashamed of Jesus Christ. And then I go home and I feel ashamed that I was ashamed. And I go around in this cycle. I'm just the worst Christian ever. Yes, but are you a Christian? And if you are, then you are salt. And you are light. It's not conditional on you whether you think you're a good Christian or not. You either are a Christian or you aren't. And if you are, then you are salt and you are light. You say, I'm only me. It's just me. A grain of salt. A spark of light. The spark will be seen in the darkness. The grain of salt will do its job. You are salt. You are light. And you are a Christian. A child of God. And you have a very heavily salted gospel to proclaim. The gospel is very strongly salted. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that sword edge is salty as well. So when it cuts, it stings. You are salt. You are light. You will challenge people just by existing. Christ has changed you and appointed you to this. So wherever you will worship next Sunday, you are still salt, you are still light. What will the future witness here be? You may have heard Paul, in an understandable way, make a slight apology and say, well, next Sunday morning it won't be the same thing as what you may have been used to. I'll tell you what I know. It will be enough. It will be enough because the followers of Christ are salt and light. Fact. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. This is the comfort. This is the first one. We are who Christ has made us to be, and that is enough. Comfort number one. And think about the light as well. The Saviour says in verse 14, the city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. You say, what comfort is that? Well, here Christ assures us of something. That if we live for him, it will be conspicuous. Now, we may feel sad that all of the bigger outreach efforts we have made have not seemed to yield much result. We may feel sad about that. We may want to do more than we actually currently can do. That's good. But a Christian who lives for Christ will find out that, as a wise old friend once said, what we need, first of all, is not so much outreach, but overflow. You live for Christ, that will overflow from your life and will be a blessing to others. Not outreach, but overflow. You may think that nobody cares. Nobody cares. How many times? All the cottages around here and the houses and invitations to all the services, and virtually nobody comes. It seems like nobody cares. But I tell you this, everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. Again, this is why it is a good thing to keep changing the scripture text on the front of the chapel every month. We've got many to put up, and it's a good thing. There may be very little that can be done, but that's easy. Why do it? People look. People observe. People are watching. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. A building that is turned into something else, everybody thinks, well, what did we expect? The Bible is just a book of myths and fables and it's all dying out. A group of people who say, no, we're followers of Christ, and that's not going to happen. That says something else. Everybody's watching. How will these Christians handle this situation? The pastor is leaving. There are only a few there. Some of them are staying and some of them are leaving too. Are they going to fall out with each other and squabble and bicker and get angry and reproachful? Are they going to give up? Are they going to retreat? What do we have to do, friends? We have to put Christ first. Pray, read his word, obey him, walk in the Spirit. That's the same as it always has been. And then our testimony will be blessed. City that's set on the hill cannot be hidden. Whether you stay or whether you go, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. You may be absolutely convinced it's right to go. You may be absolutely convinced it's right to stay. And they love you all. And I trust you all love one another. But you're still salt and you're still light. And your light will not be hidden. People are watching. Comfort number two. When we live as Christ has made us to live, the light shines. You're looking for solutions? Christ is the solution. All the answers are with him. And all the equipment he has as well. Comfort one, we are who Christ has made us to be, and that is enough. Comfort two, when we live as Christ has made us to live, the light shines. And the third thing I want you to note is this, that your good works bring glory to God. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our third comfort. What we do is filled with true meaning and purpose. And that is a comfort that I have clung to very much over 7 years. Well, longer than that, because I've been in ministry longer than that. But it's been the same wherever I've been. Seeing very little response week by week. And some people have expressed very kindly, either in conversation or in writing, some very wonderful things. Some things that I am not worthy of. Things along the lines of, well, if only more people heard this. As one person wrote, preaching like this deserves a full chapel. And I can say, well, that's nothing to do with me. I say the Saviour deserves a full chapel. God is in control. And as we serve him, he is glorified. This is the third thing. There is a liberation for you, friend. If you understand, in the words of the old catechism, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. If you seek the glory of God in all things, then you will be set free from so many things. If you say Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. Psalm 150, not unto us, not unto us, but to your name be the glory. If that's what you say, then you won't be crippled by thoughts of what others think or don't think, or whether you're doing things right or wrong, or what even what other Christians think about what you're doing. No, if your light shines, men will see your good works and glorify your Father. Notice it says, doesn't say their Father, it says your Father. These are people who are not yet Christians. Yet, we trust they may be. But they will give glory to God when they see Christians living as Christians should. The church is a lampstand. You see, we know that from Revelation. That's the scriptural picture. Believers, if you like, are candles in the lampstands. They all shine and join together in what they do. Friends, these are three comforts for us this morning. We are who Christ has made us to be, and that's enough. When we live as Christ has made us to live, the light shines. And thirdly, when our light shines, our good works will bring glory to God. Always seek the glory of God. Never seek the glory of man. Never seek praise. Never seek approbation. Seek his face. Seek his face evermore. And friends, here we are. Here we are. This is the end, you might say. This is the end. The end of what? It is the end of the ministry of one man in one place. You say, no, it's more than that. Really? Is that so? Well, if that's the case, doesn't it prove the truth of God's word to us today? This is just a man standing in front of you. Has he been salt? Has he been light? Is this not all of the glory of God? Has his wife been salt and light also? Why? How? All of grace. All of grace. If you could see my sins, if you could see my heart, you would wonder first of all how on earth I could ever stand in the pulpit. You would wonder further how or why God would ever love a person like me. And anyone who is honest would say the same thing. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. And it proves what the Saviour says. You are salt, you are light. Why? Because the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's why. Not for my righteousness, for I have none. But for his mercy's sake, Jesus, God's Son, suffered on Calvary's tree, crucified with thieves was he. Great was his love to me, his wayward one. No, it's all of grace. And you may say, well, you're leaving. Feels like you come to nothing. What's left? Everything. Everything is left. Because you are the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. What is left? Why? Only Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of God. Only him. Only the Alpha and the Omega. Only the one who is from eternity to eternity. Only the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Only Emmanuel, God with us. Only him. Everything is left. Only Jesus. What more do you need? Today, we are as blessed as we ever were. Knowing this, there's a reason why I chose the scriptures I chose to read today. We're blessed as ever we were. Knowing this, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 84. And I stand before you as one who with Paul has been determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I too have been like Paul here in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. Yet know this, as much as you have been blessed by the ministry of the word from these lips, just as Paul said, it has been in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The power of God, not the power of man. Friends, we have known the power of God. All blessing we have had has been from him. All glory will be given to him, must be, today and for all eternity. These things are true. And we say to these things, the grace of God to us in Jesus Christ, his keeping of us, the wonderful privilege of being salt and light in a sinful world in need of grace. We say his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. People of God, lift up your heads and receive the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings.